a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Welcome, everybody on the internet and out in the audience. You are privileged to participate in the committee that has been voted number one committee by an independent lab. Her name is Lucille. She's a good hunting dog from somewhere. Local governments, for specific information we have right here, we do have on our agenda this morning those primary opponents and proponents dealing with local government. A nice refresher for this committee members. It will be short and sweet. And not that Representative Stace Nelson needs any special luxury help. It certainly is designed for his benefit as well, because this is Representative Stace Nelson's very first year serving on local government. Prior to getting started, I want to remind people out in the audience, we encourage you to leave your cell phones on, because the Salvation Army does need the money. Prior to getting started, Jeanette, could you call the roll for House Local Government?
Nelson?
Here.
Olson? Roush?
Here.
Tornow?
Here, here.
Thank you, Jeanette. We certainly do have adequate numbers for a quorum. Just quick to remind committee members, and it certainly will be more apparent in the coming days and weeks, that there will be the opportunity for anybody up on here on committee to be testifying in front of another committee. All you need to do is certainly let myself or Vice Chair Representative Cronin know of your absence, and you certainly will be excused. With that, it's a reminder that a page or an intern will certainly come grab you so you can go testify where you need to go. With pages, we are pleased. We do have a distinguished page for this week. I believe he is related to one of our fellow House members. Could you come up and introduce yourself?
My name is Anthony Gosh from Rapid City.
Any questions for Paige Anthony Gosh? Welcome. You guys ready to go to work? Again, I think everybody understands protocol. It is, when it comes time to get serious, I can encourage the audience of this committee that we certainly do get serious when it comes time to that. I think it's also important for us to be able to be ourselves. All questions, comments, certainly try to direct them through the chair. With that, let's start with our quick little informational discussion this morning. Prior to that, I want to remind committee members again, if you ever do have any special guests that show up in the audience, all you need to do is just get a little attention down here, because anybody that takes their time to come to the people's house, we certainly do want to acknowledge them, excluding Representative Frank Klocek. It does appear from looking at our agenda that anything that our Secretary of State desires to bring in the form of a proponent or opponent to House Local Government is going to be met with some immediate objection, because I don't believe he is here at this time. I think I'll be supported by this committee with that little quick thought. How about Yvonne Taylor, South Dakota Municipal League? You want to come and share some thoughts with us, Yvonne, and good morning to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League, and as usual, I only have one thought, and I can't find it right now. The South Dakota Municipal League is the association that represents the cities and towns in South Dakota. We have 310 of those that are incorporated, and just about all of them are members of the Municipal League. We have everybody from the largest, which is Sioux Falls, down to one that I think has seven in population, and so we do the full range. and we represent them on all of the issues that involve city government before the legislature. Our bills this year, we primarily are going to be focusing on rewriting the special election or special assessment laws. And so that's our big bill this year. It's about 50 pages long, but about half of it's deleting stuff. And so I'm sure we'll be having conversations with all of you more in depth on that. Otherwise, we're going to ask you to look at updating the building code. We've got a regional detention bond bill, dealing with towns with city government. We're doing a little bit of liquor licensing stuff. Got some surplus property measures, and I don't think we'll have a whole lot of controversy this year, but we're looking forward to discussing things further.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor, and we certainly will have a little informal setting up here. Is there any questions at this time? Representative Torno, usually we certainly, like any other committee, we do proponents and opponents, but this is kind of a special morning. Representative Torno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yvonne, I was just trying to think, how many home rule municipalities are in South Dakota now?
Mr. Chairman, I believe there are 10.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. Can you, for maybe the benefit of the committee, and I'm trying to think of all 10. Can you name them?
It's like a pop quiz. Springfield, Sioux Falls, Beersford, Pierre, Fort Pierre, Faith, Elk Point, Watertown, Aberdeen, and Brookings.
Additional questions for Ms. Taylor.
Would you like me to name all 310?
Yvonne, thank you, and we look forward to working with you this session. Next, we have Mr. Dick. No, so who do we have here? We have a County Commissioners Association. Mr. Bob Wilcox? And committee members, we did send a little message down to the Secretary of State's office. Encouraging their participation. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bob Wilcox. I represent the County Commission Association. We have approximately 322 county commissioners in the state of South Dakota. We have a variation of five-member boards and a few counties, I think there are three currently counties that have three members on their board. This year, our legislative agenda is primarily going to be focused on a 911 bill that is being circulated as we speak today. There's been a lot of discussion on that, and many of you know that counties are very involved in the 911 PSAPs across the state of South Dakota. As well as we have a couple of cleanups. We had a catastrophic legal expense bill in front of you folks last year, and I neglected to do my due diligence, and I did find some mistakes in it, so we'll be cleaning that up as we speak. And another piece of legislation we'll be bringing in front of you folks again is on our driver's licenses. We were asking for veteran identification on our driver's license. We've worked this fall with the Driver's License Bureau here in Pierre, and I think we've got that in fine shape and ready to be presented to the 2012 legislative body. So with that, I'll stand by for questions. And it's good to have you all back.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Any questions for Mr. Bob Wilcox? We'll look forward to working with you as well. I'll fire away.
Mr. Chairman, I neglected and I apologize. I'd also like to make the committee aware that we will be currently very active in assisting Roger Telly Husen, who's a lobbyist for the county officials this year, and look forward to working with Roger and help shepherding any of their legislative agenda as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Tellinghusen, good morning to you. Welcome to local government.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, committee members. Roger Tellinghusen on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Officials. As Bob indicated, I'm representing the association this year, and that consists of the auditors, treasurers, and registers of deeds. And I'm carrying a bill on behalf of the association this year, which is intended to update the filing fees in the Register of Deeds office. In addition to updating those fees and in some instances making it much more simple to use in terms of calculating how much the filing fee should be. It also will create a preservation and modernization fund, which will be used to upgrade equipment in the Register of Deeds offices, and that money comes from the filing fees themselves. And so I look forward to visiting with each of you individually as I can, and certainly if any of you have any questions for me as you see me in the hall, I'd be happy to try and answer them on behalf of the Register of Deeds. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Good morning, Ms. Miller. We will house local governments. I know that there's an awful lot of local government-related bills that very well could be assigned here, and that naturally is up to the discretion of the Speaker of the House. We do have a bill in our docket right now. I anticipate within the next couple days having a couple more, and with the efficiency that we certainly will maintain whenever we get bills, we'll try to get them scheduled whenever possible. And just a quick reminder, anybody has those out-of-town proponents or opponents on any bill that comes before this committee, please just work with us, and we'll work with scheduling, because if anybody has the opportunity, especially taking the time to travel here, they will get their minutes of adequate testimony in front of that. With that, Secretary of State Jason Gant, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Jason Gant, Secretary of State, thanks for the invitation. To give a very brief, I assume, Mr. Chairman, you want a very brief rundown of activities since the past year. We've been extremely busy, which has been wonderful. We've had a lot of excitement with elections. We had a number of school elections last year, a number of city elections. The most exciting was the special Sioux Falls election that we had this past May, where we introduced for the first time in the state of South Dakota electronic poll books and vote centers. That was a resounding success. There will be legislation, Senate Bill 58, which we've introduced over in the Senate, and we'll have a hearing on that tomorrow. Things go well. We'll probably be in front of this committee discussing that further once the bill crosses over. But to give that option to cities, schools, as well as county government, which will then be for our state elections, to use the system. So we're very excited about that, and we'll go into much detail on that when that bill gets over to the House. We've also done a very big revamp of our website to where we're making it much easier for individuals to find information on the site, particularly with local government. We've created a school and city page that is special to them. It has all their deadlines for all their newspaper filings and all that information. It's just one of many, many steps that we've taken to try and provide as much information as we can on the website so that no matter what time of day it is that people are looking for information about a possible school election, how to circulate petitions, what do I need to do to be a candidate, all that information is readily available there. So we've been excited about that. We're looking forward to 2012, which is going to be a very big election year with a presidential primary coming up this June. We tend to see the Republican candidates dropping off here and there, with one more announcement today of withdrawing from the campaign. So it may not be exciting come June. If Romney and Gingrich and Paul are about the only three left, that will be interesting. But between now and June, it's quite a ways off. So we'll see how that goes. And then, of course, the new legislative districts. So we have a number of those across the state, which could cause numerous primaries, because there may be nobody in those districts today who are representing them, and we may see a few more elections this June. Otherwise, the November election will be right around the corner. We're excited for that and putting everything together. With that, Mr. Chairman, I probably went over my time, but I'd sure stand by for any questions or anything. Otherwise, I look forward to working with all of you and continuing to do what I can to sneak donuts in here for when Mr. Kirkaby has a dozen of my bills up.
Thanks for the reminder, Mr. Secretary. Any questions for Secretary Jason Gant? Representative Betty Olson.
Who dropped out today?
Rick Perry. And he endorsed Newt Gingrich.
Representative Thornhill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Secretary Gant, two things. I tried to access your website, I believe, on Monday, and for a course of about 2 hours, was it down?
Mr. Chairman, there were some issues with the websites and the servers. As we're putting more information onto the website, it is slowing it down and causing problems. So we're looking at new avenues to ensure that we can have a million people looking at corporations and we can have a million people looking at campaign finance. So, yes, it was.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, quick follow-up. And if I could, and I know you're working on it, and I think the website is better, And maybe what you're saying here today addresses this, but could the election information be more prominent on the site? I mean, I think right now it's kind of the lower left corner. Is that something you're looking at?
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. We're trying to keep the homepage with the most active things that are going on as high as possible. Hopefully by later this afternoon, we'll have the whole candidate listing right there on the homepage. Corporations, when those annual reports go out, we notify them once a month. And when we do that, we bring up the corporation information so that when people go to file online, that information is right there. But, yes, the candidate stuff is higher and the election schedule. If you remember, we had a bill last year that required cities and schools to notify the office of when their election is, and we have that scrolling on the homepage as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Secretary, good morning.
Morning.
Sir, I noticed on the website that there was a one letter of intent from one presidential candidate. Just curious, are they required to also take out petitions like the rest of the candidates in South Dakota?
Mr. Chairman, no, they are not. Presidential candidates are not required to file petitions. They are required by the state party chairman of each party to submit the names to my office, and then we put those names on the ballot. The process works where we're not actually electing the president in the primary. We're electing those delegates. So the state Republican Party, and I'm assuming the Democrat Party, is going to be having their internal discussions on who their delegates are going to be and which candidate they're going to be supporting. On the Republican side, I know what those dates are here, the end of February, first part of March.
Representative Frank Klocek, I know you have a question.
Well, a little on the lighter side, if I could, Mr. President. Thank you. Are there any aspirations that you're looking at being a vice presidential candidate or a candidate for the Public Utilities Commission, because there's going to be two PUC positions open?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I am not running for vice president.
I just wanted that on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your due diligence in letting us display that.
I foresee a nice fresh pastry item coming from Representative Frank Klocek the next meeting.
Only one?
Additional
Only
questions. One per committee member. Oh. Additional committee questions for Secretary of State Jason Gant. And thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gant. I think that is going to conclude local governments this morning. No? Mr. Dick Howard, I'm sorry.
All right.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Dick Howard. I'm representing the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. I know there's always a lot of questions about what is a township and where do they exist. So the page is handing out a map here that shows where we have organized townships and unorganized townships within the state. Townships were created by Congress way back in the 1800s sometime, or maybe even before that. They were set up as being 6 miles square or containing 36 square miles across the entire United States. So in South Dakota, the map shows the organized townships within the state. every little square box there that's about six miles square represents a organized township. Those that are colored purple are those which are members of our association. The other area where the townships are not shown, those townships have been disorganized, and when they townships become unorganized, the responsibility of township government goes directly to the counties. So in those areas where we don't see the little boxes, those areas are managed by the counties. Funds that are distributed to townships among those counties, where there aren't townships, the county gets the same proportion of funds that they would if the townships were still organized. So on the back, I have some general information about townships. Currently, there are 918 organized townships in South Dakota. Each township is comprised of 5 township officials, 3 supervisors, 1 clerk, 1 treasurer. The supervisors serve 3-year terms, while the clerk and treasurer are elected for 1-year terms. At the annual meeting, they elect township officers, they approve the budgets and levies, designate the road system. That's all done the first Tuesday in March. And at those meetings, it's not just the township supervisors that vote, but any registered voter that lives within the district is eligible to make motions and vote on any of the governing items within the township. So that's grassroots government, where everybody that lives there gets a vote and a chance to make motions and all that. Townships are only required to meet 4 times a year, February, March, October. I guess that's 4. The primary responsibility of township supervisors is to maintain roads and right-of-ways within the township. Townships have 34,000 miles of road within this state. Township supervisors can designate their roads as either full maintenance or minimum maintenance. Most roads that are designated minimum maintenance are those that have use only for part of the year. They have limited use, so they're not required to have full maintenance, but they are required to be maintained for the traffic that uses them. Obviously, the township board decisions require only a 2/3 majority, because the clerk and treasurer are not voting members. Just the 3 elected supervisors are members, so 2 of them can pass the legislation. Main sources of township revenue is an apportionment of the license plate fees. About 17% of the license plate fees go to townships. And they have a tax levy not to exceed $3 per $1,000 of property. Last year, the townships received about 1.5% of the total property tax were collected. And I think the average levy was like 75 cents per thousand. So townships don't tax a lot, but that's their main source of meeting business. The association was formed in 1980. We currently have 568 townships that are members and 74 small towns. It's governed by a 13-person board of directors, has a small staff that's located in Huron, South Dakota. The staff provides educational, informational, training, lobbying, and acts as a liaison between other governmental entities. And in addition, the association provides bonding of clerks and treasurers through an alliance program that's administered by the association. So that should be everything you want to know about townships. As far as legislation, we have a couple bills dealing with the definition of township roads, and one that clarifies the apportionment of the license plate fees among the individual townships, and one that deals with the distribution of the wind energy tax. And so that's all I have, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. Any questions? Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. I was wondering, Mr. Howard, now if a county, if there's no township in a county, is a county a township or a township a county, and then is the county commission rule that?
Mr. Chairman, in those counties where there are no townships, the county has the responsibility for maintaining the section line roads and other roads within the county that normally would be township responsibility. The county, if there's no townships, the county has the responsibility for doing the township business in those unorganized areas.
So there is no township members elected, is what you're saying, in that particular case?
Mr. Chairman, a township can be disbanded fairly easily. It takes a petition to be circulated and signed by, I forget the percentage. Then it's a vote of all of the registered voters within the district, and if a majority votes to disband the township, then the township ceases to exist, and the township that has been disbanded takes all of its papers and bills and money and everything and distributes them on the door of the county auditor.
Additional questions, comments for Mr. Dick Howard? Representative Munsterman.
I just have a historical question more than anything. Did counties come, organization come before township, or was it the other way around?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that the townships came first. They were set aside congressionally, even before statehood I think the states west of the Mississippi or something. Townships were all created before that. Counties were established by the state, I believe, after statehood.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have any figures on what last year's two bills on license fee increases and also the one on the tax on fuel? Do you have any figures to know how much the townships and or counties got out of that?
Mr. Chairman, as I recall, the total license plate fee increase that was approved by this body last year was about, I think, like $18 million. The way that was distributed, there's a formula, actually allocation factors in the statute that distributes it among each county, each city, and the townships within each county. So that's, let me back up. When license plates are purchased in the county, 42.5% stays in the county. That's distributed. Counties get 21.5%. Townships get 14%. Municipalities, 5%. The other 58.5% is sent to peer. And when that's motor vehicles gets like there's 4.5% taken off of that for different administrative things. The other 54% goes into the local government road and bridge fund, and that's distributed back to each county. Gets a certain portion, each municipality, and the townships within each county. That's all sent back to the county and then distributed out to the individual townships. The way it breaks out after all of that is combined, counties get about 2/3 of the license plate fees, townships get like 17%, and cities get 16%. So out of the $19 million, counties would have gotten 2/3 of that, and townships 17%.
Good question, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Howard. I think we're good on that. Just a reminder to this committee, when we do, in fact, start getting bills, everybody is going to have full knowledge. It's going to be certainly adequately posted as well as in your files. Try to start at 10 o'clock. We're nice and flexible and easy today, just to allow a little bit more time. Any other questions, comments from committee members prior to adjourning? That was easy. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.